Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast, your window into the world of AI innovation on the island of Ireland. Join us as we explore how AI is harnessed to tackle both business and societal challenges, revealing the cutting-edge solutions emerging from this vibrant AI community. Don't forget to subscribe for the latest updates and insights in the world of AI. Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly. Today, we are honoured to have Paul Johnson, the British ambassador to Ireland. I had a unique opportunity to attend a dinner at the ambassador's residence last month, as well as participate in a significant gathering there to talk a little bit about what AI professionals, academics and policymakers from both the UK and Ireland aimed at setting the stage for the UK's AI Safety Summit in November. These types of dialogues are invaluable in ensuring the responsible and ethical development and deployment of AI technology. In today's podcast, we'll delve deeper into those pressing topics. Welcome to the show, Mr. Ambassador.
Thanks very much, Mark. Do please call me Paul.
Thank you very much, Paul. Paul, a couple of weeks ago, you hosted an important gathering. Can you tell me about some of your key takeaways?
It was a pleasure to host the event and to bring together an interesting group of Irish and British experts from various fields on artificial intelligence. You were kind enough to come yourself. We had people from government, academia, business and industry, researchers and other experts from both countries. And what it struck me was that this is a subject, artificial intelligence, which is going to touch everyone's lives and all aspects of our life. It has tremendous potential for good in healthcare, in research, in communications, in all sorts of areas. But there are clearly risks, as there are with any new technology, that if it's in the hands of bad actors, then it has the potential to do bad things. So I think we need to have a balanced approach in which we try and embrace the opportunities and share them as widely as possibly within our own countries, but globally as well. But also we need to be conscious of the safety risks. And I thought we had an interesting discussion which brought out that sort of balance and how do you try and spread the benefits while also being careful to contain the risks as far as you can.
Yeah, and it's particularly interesting because everybody has a difference of opinion. Some people have got a slightly different opinion and some people have quite a considerate difference of opinion. When you look at the AI Safety Summit in the UK and the aim to integrate insights from diverse sectors, including academia, industry and governance, how do you plan to do that?
So I think because it's such a sort of an all-embracing subject, artificial intelligence, our sense was this from the start was you need to have a sort of multi-stakeholder approach so that the summit that's being held as we speak today on the 1st of November at Bletchley Park, which was in some ways the birthplace of modern computing, where the British experts like Alan Turing helped crack the Enigma code during the Second World War. The summit that we're holding today is partly it's a sign of our determination to try and lead international efforts to manage the risks around AI. But we're conscious that you can only do that if you have quite a wide range of countries. So China is our event today, which for some people has been a bit controversial. But we're conscious that we cannot solve these big global problems without Chinese involvement. We have Elon Musk. We have a range of ministers, including Dara Cleary from the Irish government, Barry O'Sullivan from University College Cork. We've tried to bring together a mixture of international organizations, governments, industry, civil society, technology, academia, because we realize that this is such a big and fast moving agenda that you can only try and get your head around it and your arms around it if you have a really broad approach to it.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very wise approach on how to actually take it. Are there any specific initiatives in place to improve people's proficiency in working safely with AI?
So we're putting quite a lot of money into this ourselves. So we've just announced that we're going to be spending an extra £120 million to boost funding for skills in AI in the UK, including new postgraduate research centres and scholarships. We're going to have 12 centres of doctoral training for AI, a new visa scheme to make it easier for the most innovative businesses in the world to bring their researchers to the UK. We're naming 64 new National Health Service trusts that will benefit from £20 million of additional money to use AI technology to improve chest X-ray and CT scans to diagnose conditions such as lung cancer. We're also putting money into new science and technology scholarships at some of the UK's top universities. So we're trying to build the skills base as quickly as we can conscious that this is both internationally very competitive and in the nature of the technology, you really need to be ahead of the skills curve so far as you can be. So we're putting quite a lot of money into that.
Yeah, because the cheese is always moving, particularly with this technology. And in the last 6 to 9 months, the change has been truly breathtaking. When we look at the term safe AI, and it is increasingly prevalent, how is the UK government planning to ensure the public trust in this technology?
So I think it's a really important question. When we looked at our objectives for the summit, we wanted, on the one hand, not to scare people, not to look only at the negative side of AI, to want to show that it's something that can be used. The safe development of AI will be a massive global public good. But we were also conscious that with frontier AI in particular, as you said, developing at such a pace, that we needed to develop a shared understanding of the risk. We needed to develop a process for the international community to work together, and so develop really good national and international frameworks that would involve people taking measures to boost frontier safety, whether that's at the level of individuals or organisations or regional or national governments. So we think that process of building trust stems from creating a sort of shared understanding, both of the possibilities, but also of the risks. And it's a conversation we want to continue building out of the summit that's being hosted in the UK. And also in our preparation for the summit, we tried to bring in different sets of stakeholders. So we did some pre-summit events with the Royal Society, the British Academy, Tech UK, the Alan Turing Institute. And the aim of that was at a national level to try and involve a range of people in how we were thinking about what to get out of this big summit meeting. And I think that's a conversation that we'll need to continue so that people both trust in the technology, but understand, like any piece of technology, there are risks involved. So they need to be safe and responsible users if we want to create a safe climate for the development of AI.
Yes, and then having that kind of harmonization is obviously very important. We had on the October the 30th, President Biden signing the executive order. We have the EU AI Act, hope soon to be ratified, depending on a few different glitches that need to be overcome. And bringing people together, because if we've got that harmonization, people are going to feel more comfortable bringing for their product and services and using it from a global perspective, rather than being very specific on the different regions.
Exactly. And we think, everyone will want to develop according to their own national or international culture and priorities. We in the UK want to both foster a climate which is very sort of entrepreneurial and encourage research and innovation in the UK. But also we're conscious of the risks of AI in the hands of irresponsible actors, which is why we've put the safety emphasis on the summit. But we've been talking a lot to the US, to our European partners and to others. And I think everyone is progressing very quick speed, given that the technology is evolving fantastically quickly. So we think that collaboration and coordination amidst not just like-minded countries, but a broader set of stakeholders is an important part of making this a global opportunity that we can all seize in our different ways.
Yeah, and trust is at the foundation of that, because it allows people to feel comfortable with it. And then having that broad, diverse set of different stakeholders means that we're building it and using it for everybody rather than a specific niche of people.
Exactly. And I think it's the more that we can develop a safe approach to AI, the more people across the world can feel that they can invest in it. And we also want to use it for international development. There's some major international problems, whether it's in the health area or economic development or tackling dangerous climate change, where AI can make, no doubt, a massive contribution, the nature and the scale of which we'll only be able to understand as we develop the technology. But that sense of being able to share it responsibly and widely across the world so that everyone gets access to it, not just in Silicon Valley or in Northern Europe, but that people across the world will be able to benefit from AI, that's an important part of our vision as well.
Yeah, because if everybody benefits, then a lot of different societal challenges can be improved on, and business can become more effective, and technology can be used as that enabler for good.
Exactly. And that's a very strong part of our vision. We don't want to make this another issue, which some issues like climate change and development have been over recent years, where there's a perception that it's the West versus the rest, or the developed world is harnessing the technology and the rest of the planet is being left behind. We really think it's important to move forward as inclusively as possible.
In conclusion, today's discussion with British Ambassador Paul Johnson comes at a critical time coinciding with the UK's AI Safety Summit. Our conversation has emphasised the need for responsible AI development, skill building and public trust. Today's summit is a key milestone in realising this vision. Thank you, Ambassador Johnson, for your insights, and thanks to our listeners for joining us on this episode of the AI Ireland podcast. I'm really, really excited to unveil my new book, AI Unleashed: Navigating the AI Revolution as a Business Executive, which is now accessible to purchase on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. This publication is the fruit of half a decade's worth of meticulous research and high-level conversations with experts in the field, both in Ireland and globally. The book is particularly timely, featuring current discussions on AI governance in the European Union and North America. If you're aiming to grasp the full scope of AI, ready your enterprise for its transformative power, and utilize it to your advantage, this book is specifically crafted for you. It serves as a pragmatic guide, clarifying misconceptions and presenting real-world insights for leaders entering the AI sphere. The book covers an extensive array of subjects, from AI's role in diverse industries to generative AI applications, and provides guidance on avoiding typical missteps in AI initiatives, all supported by the most recent studies. Additionally, the book highlights case studies and applications that have earned accolades at AI awards throughout the years, and emphasize top-notch AI utilization in Ireland. For executives, polyarchitects, or technology aficionados seeking to make sense of the intricate world of AI, AI Unleashed: Navigating AI Revolution is your essential handbook. So it's now available on Amazon. This book furnishes you with the expertise and instruments required to deploy AI more effectively and intricately.